born son of a king. Princes die over petty things. Yeah, families lived our war. You'd think that we could settle the score, but the consequences stay. Yeah, the consequences stay. Yeah, I was born the son of a king. You don't know what that means, do ya? No!
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdl, Mr. Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Tricia on location. We'll be back for the Bill Maher interview coming up at 11:25. And guess what, guys? We will be giving another pair of tickets to Bill Maher, October 4th, Comerica Theater in Phoenix, 8 p.m. next week. Exciting. Stay tuned for that. It will happen this hour. Back to you, Joseph J.
Erdo.
No, Joseph J.
Oh, we're dropping my last name until I get married. Okay, so that was, of course, Alan Powell singing us into this hour with Son of a King from the soundtrack
of
the song Son of a King.
That's not what I hear when I... People
well,
get mad at me.
Trisha does not like you sometimes. that's why she's not in the studio right now.
Oh,
she's out in the lobby waiting because she's very angry.
No. I know. I wish she'd be quiet. She's making up ruckus out there.
Oh, she is?
Did she get into the like the chips or something?
The coffee.
Oh, yeah.
She got into bouncing off the walls. But, of course, we had on Alan Powell, a great singer, star of the song, gave it a breakthrough. I did. Dave gave it a thumbs up. I'm going to try to convince him to give it a breakthrough by the
great
end of the year.
Great movie, though. Yes.
And, yeah, so the song. But there's a lot of other movies opening this weekend. Of course, we just talked about Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart. I gave it a thumbs down. We've got, I believe, 8 other movies to talk about. So let's get started.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Did you see
You're
going to
get sued for saying that.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
He's got that trademarked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just said, let's get ready to rumble.
Could you
I didn't
do
say.
That?
Can't you say that?
No.
No.
I can't even say that?
No.
What can't I say?
Please don't.
Okay. Well, I just want to rumble. That's all.
Please sue
you
Dave.
You can say that.
Okay. I want to rumble with Allie or
Caitlin.
No, Trisha. Okay.
Allie or Trisha? Wow.
No, Trisha.
Doesn't matter. Either one. All right. Well, how about Mia Wasikowska?
Yeah, I don't know who that is. What's that French girl's name?
I love that when I go eat sushi.
Oh, I know her sister.
The best part of the sushi. Yeah.
Sounds like.
Star of. Let's just move on.
Okay.
She is the star
of. Eric.
I thought about it for a second there. I'm not even sure I caught it.
Oh, good. Oh, wait, it's really a girl?
Yeah, Mia Wasikowska, of course, is the star of Tracks.
No.
It's a new movie that opened yesterday. Again, we have 8 other movies, so come on, guys.
I saw the trailer.
Focus. Mia Wasikowska, you might know her
You
might know her from Alice in Wonderland.
That's her.
She was
Alice
from
Alice
in Wonderland.
Okay.
And, of course, which I did not like that movie at all. One of your favorite people.
Just have to change her last name to make it easier for us to pronounce. I love Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Joseph, for whatever reason, doesn't. There's problems.
Sometimes he's okay.
No, we'll help you out with this. Everyone needs to love Johnny Depp.
But I also another movie
I'm with Joseph on that one.
Well, all right, you guys.
How about...
Not everyone's perfect.
The kids are all right.
Johnny's not.
Oh, yeah, that
I
is
I saw
her.
That movie
with
Mark Ruffalo.
Mia Wasikowska.
That's Mia Wasikowska.
Oh, she wrote it?
No, she was one of the kids.
The daughter.
The kids. Yes,
yeah,
the daughter.
Remember Josh Hutcherson,
I like that movie,
the guy that shoots Hunger Games arrows?
What's really weird is I did not like...
I have no idea what I just said.
I did not care for The Kids Are All Right, but I...
Really?
But, you know, the same people that made The Kids Are All Right made... The other Mark Ruffalo movie that was my favorite movie of the year last year, Thanks for Sharing.
Yeah, that was good.
Which one was
you didn't like that? Or?
No, I did not. I found it pointless, boring, and I was really pissed off at the end of the movie that I sat and watched through the whole thing.
You can't say off on the air.
I just did.
Well, okay. You shouldn't say that on the air because you're wrong.
It was a phenomenal
you know what?
Kathleen was watching with me. Trust me, she concurs.
Well,
she
you know
did?
What? We need some listeners. We need some unbiased people out there. If you've seen Thanks for sharing. If you have seen Thanks for Sharing, give us a call, 602-252-1480. Again, that is 602-252-1480. And, you know, let us know what you thought. And we're talking about...
I felt like an hour and a half of my life was just flushed down the toilet.
I feel like that every time I spend an hour and a half with you. Okay,
Trace. Wow, Mia Wasikowska.
Actually, it's three.
Hey, she grew up this Mia girl.
I have 5 hours.
Yeah, she's grown up. Well, in this,
she's very cute.
Well, she portrays a young woman who, in Track, she portrays a young woman who leaves her life in the city to make a solo trek through almost 2,000 miles of sprawling Australian desert. She's in Australia in this movie. She's accompanied by only her dog and four unpredictable camels, and she sets off on a life-changing journey of self-discovery.
What?
She's with a dog and four unpredictable camels.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, that's bad.
She really gets around well.
And what sex are the camels?
Let's just talk about them.
They're unpredictable, Dave.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So they're switch hitters.
Tracks. So. What did you think of the trailer for Tracks?
You know, I thought it looked pretty good. It looked like a good adventure movie, a movie that I'd probably like to see. I thought some of the scenes in the trailer looked like a whole variety of adventure-type situations. I'd probably like to see it.
You know, I'm not that big of a fan of Mia Wasikowska.
Oh, but she's
or camels.
No, actually, well, I never was. I have ridden a couple when I was a kid, of course.
Like a rodeo or something?
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you have camels at your bird farm?
No, I don't. No, it's just
How does
frozen.
A duck like the camels? The duck rides camels?
I don't know. The duck never has ridden. The duck has never
You call
ridden
them duck now? What's wrong
frozen
with Frozen?
Frozen has never ridden a camel. Okay, so but the camels, okay, here's the thing is, the camels are so neat to look at in this movie because there's one that... Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen a camel up close?
Oh yeah.
Have you looked? I mean,
yeah, they spit.
They spit, but do they growl?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never seen a camel growl. I guess the ones that you let you ride at, you know, the kids' zoo or whatever. When I rode one was like 6 months ago. okay.
Oh, I get it.
But no, when I was a kid and I used to ride those, they probably like tamed those so they didn't make the like.
Did they spit at you?
I don't think you can tame them to do that.
Well, it was really weird.
They're just used to it.
But in the movie, it was so interesting to watch their faces. They looked like rabid camels. I mean, it was really interesting to look at. That's all I have to say about that. But anyway, Trax is based on a true story.
By the way, that was a spoiler.
Yeah, it was a spoiler. But Trax is based on a true story. I don't know if I ever heard of this. Have you ever heard of the story of the woman who went on the trek with the camels across Australia, 2,000 miles? She was photographed for National Geographic. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a big story. I think in the 70s. So which is why Greg and I haven't heard about it. There's no, I don't know why you two.
You guys weren't born
it.
In the 70s.
No, but
we're young.
But, you know, here's the thing. Trax never really makes it explicitly clear as to why this character decides to embark on this trek.
I love Trek.
Is that a bank statement, Joseph?
No. What? I don't know. Okay.
You're doing your banking while we're on the air?
Oh, look at that. The guy has money.
I've got eight movies to talk about.
The guy has money. Call in 252-14.
All right.
If you want a date.
Right. Okay. But you know what? I never found myself fully invested in this character's journey, nor I was very inspired by her insistence to complete it. I mean, once she gets like 1,000 miles into it or something, and she can't, she doesn't feel like going on, and everyone's like saying, no, you shouldn't go on. And she says, no, I have to complete this. I would say, no, let's not. Let's just be safe and stop. But maybe that's my sense of my lack of a sense of adventure. Would you do this trek? Would you go 2,000 miles
with her? Yeah.
What country was it?
Australia.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No
yeah,
problem.
With the girl. Yeah,
no problem?
Right? Yeah, Middle East, no thanks. But, yeah, I'd do it in Australia.
You would? You would?
Sure, why not?
What?
Even with all these rabid camels a lot?
Yeah, with the weird funny faces?
Yes, with the weird funny faces that are interesting. You know what?
No, I would not.
Here's the thing. In the beginning of this movie, the first third of it, I loved it. It was great to see her trying to get these camels. It's like, why does she want these camels? And then she got the camels. Oh. And then she gets on this trek, and it was still interesting. By the end of it, I was a little bit exhausted. I was a little bit bored. But I'm still giving it a thumbs up because you know what? I realized this, that, you know, just sitting in the movie theater watching the tracks, that's not a life of adventure. We're all not going out there, You know, some people are, but most of us are not going out there and fully experiencing life. That is something that this character does.
That's
so I think that part of what the movie didn't explicitly tell us, I think that I understood after the fact that this is someone who went out there and grabbed life by the hump.
Oh.
Right, so. But anyway,
are these single hump camels or
double humps?
I don't know. I don't know how many humps there were.
They're probably multiple.
Because there are different kinds of camels.
Yeah.
Some have one and some have two.
I think there could be multiple, right?
But either way, and even as angry as these camels were, they were really cute. And, you know, so I just got to say that
from someone
alone,
that owns a duck, I guess he would say that,
well,
right?
Yeah. But it's also, you know, the cinematography in this movie was excellent. I don't know if you've ever been to Australia. I think we've covered this
on
a previous show.
I've been down under.
I bet you. And Trisha, don't call in about that. All right. So thumbs up to Tracks. Thumbs up to Tracks. But let's move on to a couple other movies. There's a couple movies about people out. The first one is Good People.
Yes.
I know Greg was kind of looking forward to this one.
I was.
James Franco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. James Franco.
James Franco and Kate Hudson play a couple.
I like Kate Hudson.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, because there's very few good people left in the world.
You're right, actually.
Yes.
No, I agree with Greg.
What? Yes.
No, he's right on that one.
Well, it takes a lot to be a good person. Yeah. They play a couple that discovers a cache of cash in their dead tenant's apartment and takes the money to pay off their debts to find themselves the target of a deadly adversary, the thief who stole it in the first place. So basically, they're in debt, they're struggling to make their payments. You saw this movie?
No, I'm just saying that plot has happened in many movies.
Okay,
yes.
So what would you do then if
many
it's happened?
Franklin,
if you found your
girlfriend,
your neighbor
dead,
and
your
there was all
with
this
a ton
money,
of money.
Yeah, and there was a ton of money.
I'd give it to the authorities.
I would give it to the authorities, too, because if nobody claims it within a certain amount of time,
then
they give it back to you.
But you do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Even if they were going to throw you and Kathleen out on your behinds?
Yes.
Yes.
How about if they were just going to throw Kathleen out on her behind?
He would go with her. What kind of question is that?
I don't know.
What are you, an investigator?
I'm trying.
No, Eric is a loyal guy. He would go with Kathleen.
Yes, of course.
But he would make sure everything was okay.
I'm trying to say that you do things that may not be
your behavior
moral when you are trying to protect your loved ones, and that's what James Franco is doing in this movie. He's trying to provide for Kate Hudson. And so, what do you think of the trailer?
Well, I thought the trailer looked suspenseful and intriguing, and that's a good thing, a good start. But something tells me that the plot may not be strong enough to give it a thumbs up, because as the trailer progressed, it just looked a little, I don't know, a little weak perhaps. But, you know, can you really tell that on a trailer? But it did look suspenseful, had promise. But if it wasn't a strong enough plot, I would not be interested, even though I like Kate Hudson.
Yes, I like Kate Hudson. I like James Franco. Two very strong leads in this movie.
Yes.
And, you know, and the theme here, again, it's a very thought-provoking theme about the things that we might do to just, you know, survive through our struggles. Yes, that is a theme that we see in a lot of movies, but
it is
a very common theme that I think that a lot of us deal with on a daily basis. That, you know, what we'll do with, you know, to survive, you know, life. It's not very easy. So, you know, it's got one hell of a nerve-wracking, nearly dialogue-free finale in this movie. Unfortunately, the scenes that lead up to that finale are very boring. They're lethargic.
I was right again on the trailer.
They consist of a series of whispered conversations.
Yeah. Oh, whispers.
You know, I'm James Franco, and you be Kate Hudson, and we're just going to
How about
talk.
The love scene?
No, let's not do that one.
No, the love scene was good.
You know, the people
it was part of the trailer.
Us,
no, I love the love scene.
And it's just a little bit too lethargic.
What about the love scene?
You know, and then it's in low-lit settings. There's not enough light in this movie, it's difficult to remain interested and engaged. It also reduces the potency of its theme, so I'm giving good people a thumbs down.
So I was right about this trailer.
Yes.
I'm pretty good at the trailers.
Yes, but
I save a lot of money.
Sometimes you're wrong, though.
Not often.
You can save the audience a lot of time and money.
Oh, yeah. But Kate Hudson.
Or you can listen to me.
What about the love scene?
And waste
scene,
your
though?
Time and money.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. Do you want to talk about the love scene between
No, let's two? Not talk about okay. the love scene. Let's talk about the other people. We talked
Other
about good
people.
People. Let's talk about bird people.
Oh, bird people.
Now, Eric thought that this was going to be my breakthrough because...
Oh.
I don't know. It just had an odd title. I figured that was going to be
one. I thought it was because bird is a duck and all that.
Maybe subconsciously. That's why I picked it, but I don't know.
Right. All right. Well, you know, it is. I wish that the movie was about, you know, people and their ducks, because we got to make a movie about that.
Let's make a duck movie.
Yes, let's make a duck movie. But this is actually bird people, as in people who, you know, it's kind of like a metaphor for people who live at an airport. People who are basically always in the sky. You know, Josh Charles plays a Silicon Valley engineer who abruptly chucks his job, breaks things off with his wife, and holes up in his room at an airport hotel on the outskirts of Paris. Soon, fate draws him and a young French maid together. So, Dave, what'd you think of the trailer for Bird People?
It just looked too corny for me.
Corny?
Corny.
Okay. Well,
birds eat corn.
It's,
that's why I said it.
That's Frozen's favorite food, corn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you know, Bird People spends an awful lot of time flapping its wings about without ever truly taking flight. I know I'm good at this, huh? That's why I write. I'm a member of the premier Phoenix Film Critics Society here in Phoenix.
Ooh,
yeah,
and you're a film commentator.
Yeah, film commentator for Breakthrough Entertainment.
He's elevated.
Yes, Breakthrough
from columnist to commentator. Is that a raise?
Yes.
He was a film critic.
I think I deserve a raise. If you think I deserve a raise, give us a call. The new drama.
602-1444-89-17 star.
That's interesting.
.com.
So, Bird People is excruciatingly dull.
Oh,
from beginning to end. It appears to be more concerned with creating a masterpiece of metaphor.
You're just saying that because I thought it was going to be a breakthrough.
No. I actually had written this review before I spoke with you. I review movies very honestly. And, it doesn't entertain viewers. Again, it wants to be a masterpiece of metaphor. Josh Charles, he's a good actor. He gives an appealing performance, but the story is too slow to keep audiences engaged. The symbolism is frequently flying over everyone's heads when it's not hitting them smack dab in the face. There's probably a very powerful poem hiding somewhere within this screenplay, but as a movie, it's about as light as a feather. I'm giving Bird People a thumbs down. I'm sorry.
I was right about that one, too.
Yeah. So how many, so far, what do we have? Again, we have 10 movies coming out this weekend that we're reviewing.
One thumbs up so far.
I'm giving one thumbs up to Trax. Of course,
and
I gave Breakthrough.
That's right.
The song.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart, Good People, and Burnt People have all gotten thumbs downs. But we have several other movies to talk about.
We still have
Five
The Equalizer.
More.
Denzel Washington came out on Thursday.
That looks good.
Kelly and Cal and Plastic.
Believe Me, Plastic.
Zero Theorem.
Yeah, so there's a lot more to talk about.
And Bill Maher at 11:25 here on 1480 AM Breakthrough Entertainment.
About an hour from now.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
It's going to be exciting. Yeah. This will be a great interview. And we will give away another pair of Bill Maher tickets later this hour. Stay tuned for this. It'll be exciting. And we'll let you know when we will give another pair of Bill Maher tickets next Saturday. Can you believe it, Eric? Already it's 1 week away, October 4th. We will be doing this.
Time flies.
Yes, exciting. And I'll give out the number again just to get ready, 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480.
Write it down.
I should make a song of it.
I sort of sang that one.
602-252-1480. Oh, we got to think of a little catchier.
I like it. I should bring
it. Don't call now.
Not now.
When we say it.
I hope we have a break coming up.
I'm waiting on Joseph.
No break yet. Don't call now, but there is something that you can do now.
Oh, no, I was just trying to get you guys to stop singing.
Oh, yeah.
There is something. You want me to sing before the break?
Hey, we got to talk about going to this Rob Zombie haunted house.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
that.
Go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, and that'll take you to our Facebook page. And, that's something, you can do right now to win something.
Yeah.
And, you go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, take you to our Facebook page. We got three screenings that we're giving VIP passes to Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Of course, the spinoff of The Conjuring, the doll.
I just
the
found
Conjuring.
The cell
oh, that's
recently.
From The Conjuring? Yeah.
Gone Girl.
Look, people are calling.
Ben
we
Affleck.
Just said
don't
call.
Don't call. Don't do not call now. You can.
Yeah. Unless you want to talk to us. I mean, you could talk about movies.
Yeah. Well, maybe they were calling for Dave to give me a raise.
Maybe they're calling for a date with Joseph.
Maybe
they
were.
Been Bobby.
Oh, and they hung up. Oh, they got shy. Okay.
Wait, you're saying Dave to give you a raise, or was it Bobby?
No. All right. So you know what? Let's talk about Annabelle, Gone Girl, and
Gone
the
Girl.
Judge, Robert Duvall, Robert Downey Jr., and of course, Gone Girl.
I
with
didn't
Ben
see
Affleck.
Gone Girl on the list.
Dave, We're giving VIP tickets to these movies away.
We've put the Gone Girl up on Facebook already, have
yes.
we?
Oh, yes. Okay. They're all on Facebook.
I wasn't sure if it was on there.
And
I hope so.
I did see the trailer, though.
Yeah, they look like... Great. Especially Gone Girl looks like a good movie. Affleck.
The one I'm really looking forward to is The Judge.
Okay. All
right. Right?
Yeah. I don't know if we'll be covering it on this show. But
I like it.
But you can see it. And, you know, so we're going to give you the word of the week in a little bit. But, of course, I think we need to take a break in just a few moments. So let's, you know. Let's just give the
word. What are you really trying to say, Joseph?
Let's give the word of the week.
Okay, can I make one up?
No, I'm going to make it up.
I wanted the name of the French girl.
Wasikowska.
No, other one. The from
too
the French.
Virginie? No.
Yeah, Virginie.
Let's do Wasikowska. Wasikowska is the word of the week.
Let Craig decide.
That's too hard.
Virginie. Amanda Moore? No. Mandy?
Let's hold on that for a second. Let's take a break. But of course, the word of the week is Wasikowska.
Oh my what? God, that's so hard.
Oh my God, nobody's gonna get that.
All right, what about the one?
Do her first
Virginity.
Name.
Mia.
How about her I first mean, name? Yeah.
No.
What about Bill Maher?
No. Let's do cheese.
Cheese.
Bill Maher. Fine.
We'll do Bill Maher
or Wasikowska. It's up to you. Go to BreakRadioShow.com. Click on the big F. Of course, this is from the song. This is Alan Powell singing us out of this segment. Can't Hold On from the song soundtrack.
Did he write these songs or is he just singing someone else's?
These are original songs.
Prolific.
Yes. Prolific. The word of the day, Bill Maher, of course, he'll be on in about 1 hour. But this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Arrows, they pierce me. I'm bleeding and I'm shaking. You have overwhelmed me and made my heart groan. I cried all my tears for fear I was forsaken. After I begged you to leave me alone. I cannot hear, I have no sight. Dark is near and you're blind in light. Can you hear me when I cry? Catch me when I fall.
It's always great to have a friend in business. That's why we encourage you to reach out to Brandon Ross at Burt Carpenter Financial, a full-service residential lender. Call now for exceptional service and an accurate pre-qualification. Connect with him online at BrandonRossHomeLoans.com or by phone at 602-953-7826, 602-953-7826. Brandon Ross, NMLS number 858655, and Burt Carpenter Financial, NMLS number 142159.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at Mitch at jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Take your words and overtures, your jokes so grandiose. Let them sink into your drinks, and I want to close. Underneath my overcoat, yes, underneath my chest. A hurricane is shaking, and I'm aching to get undressed. Take me, shake me, and break me in two. A million little pieces spread all over you. I want to fly.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert. Trisha will be here later. And this is from the song. We had Alan Palin, the actor, the star of the song, a little bit earlier.
First-time actor, wasn't it?
First-time actor. And this is Caitlin Nicole Thomas playing Shelby Bale. She was fantastic. Yeah. I thought her voice, the violin, she was just really good in this movie. Yeah, and I want her on the show.
The song is Confetti, and of course, again, the song is a great movie, but we've got a lot of other movies that come out that came out yesterday, including this next one we're going to talk about. We're going to have our review on a little bit later, but right now we're going to be speaking with one of the stars, Max Adler. Thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And it's my my hometown, Arizona. That's where I'm from, so I'm very excited.
Well, that's you know, excellent. That's one of the reasons why I picked you,
Phoenix?
You know, among all the other actors from the film. Yeah, so Phoenix?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, so Fountain Hills was like the first grade through about fifth grade, and then I moved into like Cave Creek, Paradise Valley.
That's
area,
where I live, Cave Creek.
High school, and yeah, my family's still up by Desert Ridge. My brother went to ASU. Yeah, I'm an Arizona boy.
Nice.
I live up in Cave Creek.
Oh, and
I said I live in Cave Creek.
Oh yeah, well it's a great booming area. I mean, you know, Desert Ridge Mall and everything just blew up over the last few years. And every time I go back, it's just like a new.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you in studio next time you're here in Phoenix.
You're cutting in and out. Can you move? Are you on a cell phone?
I am. Can you hear me?
You're cutting
we're
out.
We're losing you.
all right. Hang on.
Go toward a window and...
Is this any better right here for
yes.
you?
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, another reason...
All right, good.
Well, you know, I picked you for three reasons. One, because of your tie to the Valley. Another reason is because, you know, you're one of my favorite actors in the movie. I think you gave the best performance. Everyone does a great job. But the other reason is I am a very proud Gleek. So I'm sure that, you know...
Wow. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot. I go back in a couple days to Los Angeles to resume filming on our final season.
Terrific. You know, can't wait for the final season. We're actually gonna have a Glee special you know, probably sometime next year. So we'll talk a little more about Glee.
Heather Morris, who plays Brittany on the show, is another Arizona native.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's a great actress you know, as well.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we got 13 more episodes, and kind of getting back to the roots, back to the basics of those, you know, the really impactful kind of pushing the envelope storylines, and I'm really excited to be back and kind of, you know, close that out with a bang.
Oh yes, cannot wait for that. I was going to ask you this later, but are you going to finally sing at all in the show?
You know, I hope so. I did show choir at Horizon High School, and we toured around the nation, and I do sing all the time, shower in my car.
I do
and whether
too.
Glee will let me do it on the show or not remains to be seen. As of now, in the first four episodes, I do not sing. But hopefully later in the season, I'll have a shot. I would love to. That's definitely something I'd love to do before the show ends.
I hope so as well. That's so strange that you did show choir at Horizon, yet you did not. You haven't gotten a chance to sing in Glee yet. I'm singing on the show all the time here, and Greg doesn't care for it.
Yeah. But when you guys sing on Glee, that's fine. But Joseph, though, you know, we're working on helping him out a little bit.
But
we can all do a little ditty. We can all sing like Run Around Sue or like Barbara Ann right now. So. We can have a little fun if you want.
Oh, nice. Well, maybe we'll have to hear you sing in just a moment. But let's talk about a little bit about Believe Me right now. Of course, you are one of several stars in the film. You, Alex Russell, Miles Fisher, you all play college seniors who, desperate and broke out of ideas, you start a fake charity to embezzle money for tuition. Again, the movie opened yesterday. We're going to give our review a little bit later. But I definitely have to say that I really did enjoy it. First tell us a little bit about your character. You play Baker. What does he bring to the group dynamic?
Well, thank you very much for your kind words. Baker basically is the kind of loyal puppy dog friend, very innocent, very naive, who's really willing to do anything for his friends, and that includes starting this big Christian charity called Project Get Well Soon. Where the ruse is that we're going to be drilling wells in Africa for clean drinking water, and we end up pocketing all the money, and we pay for our tuitions, and we party, and things get out of hand very quickly and spread to a bigger degree than we ever thought. And Baker, my character, really just, he's a guy that hasn't really lived life yet. He's just a very innocent boy who hasn't really had to engage with consequences or punishment. And throughout the course of the film, he kind of realizes maybe it's time to kind of get a life and shape up and, become a man and embrace the adulthood that, is inevitably in front of him. So it was kind of a fun arc to play, something relatable, and I think we can all relate to that, okay, well, I guess I got to be a man now. And so it was really a fun role, and it was the first kind of comedy that I was able to do, and so it was a lot of fun. And the guys were all phenomenal in the film, and we're all very, very close, and we're all in New York for the premiere. And it's been a really fun ride.
Oh yeah, and tell us a little bit more about this character. Do you identify with him at all? I mean, are you closer to this character or the character that you play on Glee? I mean, or are you somewhere in between or not at all?
I guess somewhere in between. I think you find. Definitely as a human being or as an actor, there's empathy you find for everyone. That you understand people, you understand relationships, and everyone kind of has the same dreams and goals and fears and insecurities. And so, I'm not exactly like any of those characters, but I definitely find pieces that I can easily relate to, or I know friends like that. And, so with Baker, with Believe Me, I'm a very loyal guy myself. My best friends are all guys from Horizon. 10 years ago we just had our 10-year reunion, and we're all still super close, and we all drove back together from LA to Arizona. And so, I identified with that, where I would do anything for my friends, and consequences come second, and the friendship and their well-being comes first. And so I really like that. And with Karasi, with Glee. Obviously there's certain things I don't identify with, but, the things about, I think, hiding yourself or hiding your true feelings or, your true desires or wants, and kind of being afraid to be open and honest with everybody. I think everyone has a piece of themselves that they kind of keep hidden under the surface. And, some people have skeletons, and so I can relate to that part of Karofsky, as far as, you have to present one side of yourself to the whole world while different thoughts are going on underneath you.
Yeah.
I think I identify with the base core human values and emotions that these characters are, and then I just go ahead and have fun and color it based on what the writing kind of requires.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that both of these characters kind of go through transitions. And of course, Baker, as you said, he has to finally become a man. He's all into these partying and stuff, and finally becomes a man in this film. And Believe Me, and in Glee, Karofsky, as you said, he went through a growing up experience himself. So is that something that you look for in roles? Meaning.
I mean, as far as looking for what specifically? Like, what do you mean?
Are you looking for, you know, a character arc? Are you looking for a character that you can actually make your own and have meaning?
I look for, you know, it's crazy because with Glee, I kind of realized how important or how impactful or powerful media can be. And, you know, you kind of go out to L.A. with a dream of just being an actor, and, you know, and it's great to be, you know, the cop or the security guard or, you know, frat boy number six, you know, things like that. But then once Glee happened, I kind of realized that, you know, through media, through television and radio and, you know, movies, you can be impactful and you can, you know, your messages carry a lot of weight. And, you know, if you have a good audience and a good viewership and good ratings, you know, a lot of people are going to get the message. And, you know, if we can change lives and kind of, you know, spark a dialogue. And that's what we did with Glee and with that role. And I found it to be incredibly just valuable and unexpected. And so now I think with roles, yeah, there's definitely an arc. I like to kind of go find a character that starts at one place and ends up somewhere else. But in addition to that, I like playing characters in projects with a message now, because I feel like we have that ability and that power through media to reach a lot of people. And so it's kind of fun, I feel like, to do something you know, that's not so frivolous and that kind of, you know, packs a punch and kind of leaves an impression, and, you know, the audience kind of leaves the theater having debates and having conversations about what they would do in that situation, and, you know, would they be honest, would they lie, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it really intrigued me to kind of hold up a mirror to the audience and kind of see what they think through the character. So yeah
great, Max. And, you know, that's exactly what Believe Me does. You know, it's unique in that it's a movie that both satirizes religion, parodies religion, and it also embraces it. It does hold that mirror up, but it also does it in a fun way. But it seems like it would be a really difficult line to walk. Was it?
You know, it is. Luckily not for me, because that falls on the director and producer and writer and their vision and how they edit it. What was really interesting about this was the director, writer, producer is a three-man team, and a young guy, you know, mid-20s out of Texas, and they're all self-proclaimed, you know, Christians who grew up in that faith and going to church and celebrating, you know, Christianity and faith. And so that, you know, the last thing they wanted to do was offend or hurt anybody's feelings. And so I think it was really, like you said, it's the fine line, not only how, you know, to straddle the line of comedy and drama, which I think they did really well in this film, that, you know, you're laughing your butt off 1 second, and then the next second there's like a, you know, a message, and it's like, oh, like, that just got real quick. So I think they do that well. And then, yeah, as far as the Christianity, you know, I think there's not one scene that's making fun of or, you know, instigating any kind of ill will towards faith or spirituality or religion. I think it was merely them just saying, like, you know, look at the young culture of Christianity, and, you know, let's just think about, you know, who we're listening to and who we're putting our faith in. And, you know, it was never an attack on, you know, the Bible or Jesus or, you know, the stories in the Bible. It was like, you know, and you've seen it, you know, it's more like, you know, the fact that whoever's up on that stage with a microphone has a pretty big audience that is willing to listen and devote their life and devote their financial income. And so, you know, what do people do with that power on stage with the microphone? And their message was that, you know, could somebody infiltrate that system, and how scary that is. And it was just more of a, you know, let's just like think about the culture and, like you said, you know, it's that holding up a mirror to the audience, just to kind of raise questions and start conversations, as opposed to beat anybody over the head with a message, you know, one way or the other. And yeah, I think they did that pretty well. You know, for first-time filmmakers, I think they straddled the line of, you know, offensive and not offensive, and also drama and comedy, like, perfectly. And that was a big reason why me and all the other cast members really jumped at the chance to do this, because it's, you know, so much fun to watch and so much fun to film, but it also has a little bit of a message to it, so it was really nice.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with all that. And, you know, especially you give someone a microphone and they've got a lot of power. And we want to use our power today and to tell everyone to go out and see. Believe me, it's in theaters across the country, especially here in Phoenix. I'm sure a lot of your friends and former classmates from Horizon are going out to see it in the theater this weekend. But, of course, they're going to see you.
I certainly hope so. I know my dad was there at 11:30 yesterday morning, so that was nice.
Wow, excellent.
Yeah, but, yeah, some theaters and iTunes and On Demand and... out as of yesterday. So I'd love everybody to go check it out.
Excellent. And, you know, one final question here. I know, you know, 23 Blast is coming out soon. Can you tell us briefly about that project, the character you play?
Absolutely, yeah, thank you. That's a football drama based on a true story, and a great character actor named Dylan Baker directed it, and Stephen Lang, probably most people might know him from Avatar or Gods and Generals, plays the football coach. And that's basically based on a true story about this guy named Travis Freeman, who is from Corbin, Kentucky, and he had a disease that caused permanent blindness, and he overcame that obstacle and still managed to play football for the high school team as the center of the team, and he learned how to play blind, and they ended up winning a championship that year. And so the story is, you know, really about just overcoming obstacles, and that, you know, if he can overcome that, what can we all overcome? And, you know, about not giving up, because that's pretty, you know, something like that happens. A lot of people just kind of give up on life, and he wouldn't let that stop him, and he kept going. And so we kind of made the story about that, but it also kind of involves that small town football Friday night life feeling. So yeah, I'm really proud of that, and that'll be coming out October 24th.
And we will definitely have a review of that on Breakthrough Entertainment. And, you know, so again, I can't wait to see that one. Believe Me is definitely a great movie. We want all of our listeners to go out and see that. And again, you know, Glee, or star of Glee as well, that'll be back on next year. You know, Max Adler, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Breakthrough Entertainment today. And yeah, please do me a favor, and next time you're in Phoenix, let me know, and we would absolutely love to have you in studio.
Oh, that means a lot to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I definitely will. I think I'll probably be in around Thanksgiving or Christmas, so I will. I'll be sure to let you know. And thank you for all the support.
Great, great. Thank you very much, and have a great day. Take care.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one.
And of course, that was Max Adler and Believe Me, which Joseph will talk about here later on as well.
I want to separate my review, you know, just to give them two segments, you
Absolutely.
Know, because they were kind enough to, you know, have Max on the show. But, you know, so that, yeah, that's
why. He's great, yeah. And I didn't mention this, and I went to Shadow Mountain, and it looked, I think we're around the same age. So,
yeah,
you know,
we were probably
not too
all
far
in
away from each other. Yeah.
Our football teams were probably all fighting each other at the same
Wait,
time.
What high school did you go to?
Barry Goldwater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No.
I don't care. I'm not friends with many of my high school colleagues.
Were you a loner in high school?
Let's not talk about my high school experience today. That'll be a
we
story
have it
for
in the film.
Another
That's
day.
A sore spot for Joseph.
That'll be a story for another day. But this, of course, is another song from The Song. It's Falling Like Stars, another song that's sung by Caitlin Nicole Thomas.
Okay, absolutely. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment right here on 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
It's now time for the word association game. Contestants, go ahead.
Bars. Meat market. Gas.
High prices.
Politicians.
Liars.
Auto mechanics.
Ripoff.
Guys, whoa, wait a minute here. Not when I think of my auto mechanic, I think of trust, care, safety, and fairness. This sounds like the definition of a friend, which was what Alexander's All Care Automotive Repair achieves with his customers. The peace of mind that comes with the mechanic that puts you first. Located at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, 85018. Call 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
You made me love you, and I did not want to do it. No, I did not want to do it. You made me want you, and all the time you knew it. I swear you always knew it. Give me what I cry for. You got the kind of kisses I would die for. You know you made me love you. You know you made me love you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt, and Tricia will be here a little bit later. Bill Maher interview coming up in about 35 minutes. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, in several minutes, we will be giving away another pair of Bill Maher tickets, Comerica Theater, October 4th, next Saturday, 8 p.m. Bill Maher is hysterical, so stay tuned for that, or should we do it now?
Well, just a few moments. A
few moments.
I want to let our listeners know that of course, was You Made Me Love You by Taylor Wayling, and from the song... Right?
The song.
Yes.
You know, there was another song called something like this. You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. How was that?
Who was that?
Greg.
but you know what? I want to apologize, Eric. That was the right song. I'm sorry. I was confused.
Was it?
That was the right song. So we're still on track. We're still on track.
It wasn't, but you're just trying to make me feel better.
No, we are on track. I'm just confused because I've got a bunch of papers here in front of me trying to...
You do?
Since we have so many movies, I'm getting confused. So
well,
no,
you know,
not.
This software, it's like, it's so weird because the older version of this software used to play everything in order no matter what.
Oh.
This one does not.
Right. Well, that one did play in order, so I apologize, but we are on track and that's the right number up and
a
everything.
A public
like that.
Apology on
yes.
the air.
I Joseph. Apologize. I am not a crook.
do you remember that? Jeez, that's amazing.
Right. Well, of course, yeah, we do have Bill Maher tickets. And, well, so go ahead and let's get ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Maher, pair of tickets. next Saturday, October 4th, to see Bill Maher at Comerica Theater here in Phoenix, 8 p.m. This is exciting. I'm not kidding. He is so funny. And, of course, his interview coming up at 11:25. So get ready to rump. Oh,
well,
I can't
know
say
the number.
That.
Can't say that.
602. Here's the phone number. 602-252-1480.
Slower.
602-252-1480.
That's 1480.
That's 602-242.
That's 1,480.
Now I got confused. 602. All right, let's start over. 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480. For Bill Maher tickets, a pair of Bill Maher tickets coming up. Here we go.
Third caller.
Third caller. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Go. Go. Call in 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480. Third caller. Bill Maher tickets next Saturday, October 4th.
Look at that. The board's lit up.
Yes, board lighting
boy.
Up. People want to.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. So, well, to keep calling. We only got one producer here answering the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's right. You got to
answer.
It
only counts if Eric answers the phone.
That's right.
He'll have our winner on in just a moment. So keep trying. And let's talk. Let's skip our review for Equalizer right now since we both saw it.
Yes.
And I know that we'll probably want to share our thoughts on it. Let's talk a little bit about Kelly and Cal. Okay, Kelly and Cal. Juliette Lewis plays a punk rocker turned suburban mom who is nostalgic for the life she no longer has and uncertain of a future where she does not yet fit in. Johnny Weston plays a teenager who is frustrated at his lack of control over the hand that he's been dealt. When the two neighbors meet, they find each other at an unlikely but much-needed connection in the world. So, of course, you have Juliette Lewis, who plays a new mother. She used to be, you know, she used to have this wild lifestyle. Then Johnny Weston plays this. He's in a wheelchair, and you know, so that he can't walk. He's you know, if you're in a wheelchair, if that's fresh to you, you're not very happy about it, right?
Right.
Most likely. And so they both have these issues. So, Dave, what did you think about this trailer?
Well, you know, I really like Juliette Lewis. I thought she was fantastic. I think it was called The Other Sister.
Yes.
Fantastic. I mean, that should have got a lot more notoriety. Did I say
notoriety?
That, right? That one.
What was that?
I don't know what it is.
Don't
in
be
French.
Manipulative.
Yeah, that one.
Don't be
and,
manipulative.
This coffee has something in it. So the thing is, it looked like potentially a good movie, but it seemed a little corny again. And if there's not enough substance, maybe it flops. But anything with Juliette Lewis usually is pretty good.
Well, there is a lot of substance. You know, it's unsettling though to see how a relationship between a middle-aged suburban mom and a handicapped teenager is viewed as therapeutic in this movie. That's a little weird.
Oh,
that's
really?
A little weird to me.
What is like a sex surrogate or something?
Well, no. It's innocent. The relationship is innocent.
Oh.
It's an unlikely friendship. That's
pretty much
all it is.
Okay.
But there is, you know, some romance involved. I mean, they're viewing each other romantically. You'll have to see the movie to understand.
Right.
But you know, I think that we would all agree that it would be a completely different story if the sexes were switched. If this was a middle-aged man and a handicapped teenage girl.
It would be
10 to 15.
What would happen?
Yeah, it would
right
be a little bit
bat.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would be some, you know, in the movie, she doesn't escape unscathed. There are consequences for her actions, even though there aren't, you know, any serious actions going on. I will agree that Juliette Lewis is a terrific actress.
Yeah. Yes,
she was great in The Other Sister.
Tremendous movie.
Even better in Mixed Nuts, my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, I didn't know she was in that one.
Yeah, she's
who is the guy
favorite
in
of all time?
Of all time.
That's pretty strong statement there.
That's weird.
We talk about that every week, Eric.
Yeah,
but
very weird.
Welcome.
And every week I wonder why.
That's Greg laughing. He's choking.
But Juliette Lewis, do you remember her in Mixed Nuts? Do you remember how young she was?
Well, my favorite Christmas movie with Juliette Lewis was The Griswolds.
Okay, all right. Well, but back
but
then
Mixed,
she was so
I like
young,
Mixed Nuts
and
too.
Now she is a middle-aged woman. I mean, it's just really
but
weird.
Still
it shows you how old
looked,
we are.
No, we're not old, but Eric and Dave, on the other hand, I'm sorry.
She's only your age?
No, she's in her
she's
40s.
Older than...
But no, she looks great, though.
Yeah, she is. She's
the
but,
same.
But who was the guy
she's in The Facts of Life?
Just more
in The Other Sister. I thought he should have won Best
Giovanni
Actor.
Giovanni Ribisi.
He's fantastic.
Yes, he is.
How come
he
he's not, like, more well-known?
He is pretty well-known.
He is
but he should be more well-known.
He's in...
No, I think he's in a good level.
No, he
he's
should
great.
Be more well-known.
He was in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, but he should be more well-known.
He handled the boiler room.
But do you think that I liked Kelly and Cal?
Yes.
I enjoyed it, but no, I'm giving it a thumbs down.
Okay,
the,
I was
the
right.
Dynamic, the dynamic between the two characters' circumstances is moderately intriguing, and Lewis gives a great performance. But the plot is particularly uneventful and therefore also prosaic.
Yeah.
Not much happened in this movie. I'm giving it a thumbs down. So Kelly and Cal, if you are a fan of Juliette Lewis, it still is probably worth a look, but maybe on DVD or video on demand.
You use the word prosaic.
Prosaic.
Which is the root word is Prozac.
I take that to go to sleep.
The Prozac. You take Prozac to go to sleep?
Dave takes Prozac.
I've never heard of that.
Dave takes
That's
Prozac to do
keep
something
you,
else. Oh, Dave takes I Prozac mean, to enjoy
no.
Trisha.
What?
What is Prozac?
I don't know, something by Pfister?
Yeah, it's a Pfister. Drug.
Maybe like Depression or something like that. Remember that movie Prozac?
Prozac Nation?
Yeah.
Christina Ricci?
Yeah, Bob Dole used to do a commercial, right?
I like Dole. Yeah, the
pill.
Orange juice.
The little blue pill.
That's really
purple
good.
Pill.
That's really good.
Yeah, blue pill is something completely different.
I like their orange juice.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We just
that's different.
We just made a Dave's Random Enlightenments. Of course, the word of the week is either Wasikowska or Bill Maher.
No wonder I can never go to sleep.
If you're listening to the word of the week,
that blue pill keeps you up.
That's what I thought.
Today's word of the week is Bill Maher or Wasikowska. We will accept either one of them since we made
you
confused.
If you can spell it.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell that.
Whichever one will work. But of course, we've got a lot of show left here on Breakthrough.
And we had a winner pretty real quick, actually.
Yeah, congratulations to Rita. She's going to see Bill Maher.
Rita, congratulations.
Oh.
What?
Rita's Italian Ice. I like their Italian Ice.
Italian Ice? Is she Italian?
Yeah, you know what? Her last name sounds Italian.
Oh, nice.
Is it Lovely Rita? Rita Maid?
Meter Maid.
Or Meter
Maid. Rita and Runt.
Okay. What did I say?
Well, I'm going to keep
Lovely
us on track
Rita,
here and say that, you know, do you like Emmy Lou Harris?
I don't know. Prozac, Viagra, what's the difference?
Okay.
Well, did you say Amy or Emmy?
Emmy Lou
Emmy
Harris.
Emmy Award. Emmy
Lou Harris
Emmy,
is going to be singing us into the break with Prayer in Open D. This is from The Song.
The
soundtrack
song.
To The Song. Of course, I gave it a breakthrough. If you see one movie this week, go see The Song.
Yes, it was an excellent movie. I didn't give it quite a breakthrough, but if I saw it again, maybe I would, right?
I
gave it a great movie.
I cried.
He cried, ladies and gentlemen. He's a sensitive man that wants now.
602-252-1480.
Yeah. I think he wants to date people out there, so 602-252-1480.
Blonde, maybe looks like
Bobby.
The woman.
Looking for a dominatrix because
like,
I am sensitive.
Something like Bobby.
Yes,
right?
So someone who looks a little bit about Allie
like
in the film. Like,
I thought you liked Bobby.
Well, Bobby's good, too.
Okay,
Allie Faulkner.
You got a chance.
Allie Faulkner, give me a call, 602-252-1480. Allie Faulkner, thank you very much.
How about Caitlin? What's her name?
Nicole Thomas.
Yeah.
I'll take Allie.
Oh, come
I'll
on.
Take Allie.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. But
you like tattoos on women?
I like a traditional woman.
Okay, and we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.